Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. All the glory must be to the Lord. Blessings, beloved. This is Brother Josh here again. Before we continue, let us pray. Father, we thank you for this privilege again, Daddy, of life, of being able to share with my brothers and sisters that which you are sharing with me. Father, we pray that you give us understanding. Father, we pray that you give us grace to apprehend that which you are trying to say to us, and it will be profitable for us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. God bless you all richly. We have been speaking on the topic of Christian growth. We've done a few episodes, and I want to say that this builds up. So if you're listening to number 8, I hope you listen to number 7 before you listen to number 8, and I hope you listen to number 6 before you listen to number 7. You know, it builds up like that, because it's line upon line, precept upon precept. Today we're going to start looking at some hindrances to Christian growth. Some hindrances to Christian growth. By the mercies of God, there are some things that God shows us that hinder us from growing in Christ. There are some things that God shows us that lets us know, if we didn't know, that indeed he's concerned about our growth, our welfare, our progression. One of those things that God has mercifully showed to his church that fights against, that wars against our growth in Christ is the doctrine of Balaam. The doctrine of Balaam. You can call it Balaam, B-A-L-A-A-M, the doctrine of Balaam. And again, discussions here are centered on the word. It's not based on philosophers or Jewish or Gentile theologians or what Jewish or Gentile scholars believe. I'm not knocking anybody. I'm just saying we discuss based on God's word. So I implore you to get your Bibles out. Let us reason the scriptures together. Get your Bibles out. The doctrine of Balaam. Revelation chapter 2 verse 14. The Bible says, Jesus says, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. The Lord says that some believers are holding the doctrine of Balaam. This doctrine causes defilement of God's children. Let me read that again, Revelation 2:14. I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. What is a stumbling block? The definition in Strong's Concordance is that it is a snare, it is a trap stick. Figuratively, it is to cause displeasure of sin. It's an occasion to fall. It's an offense. It's something that offends, a stumbling block. Also, the dictionary defines a stumbling block as a difficulty that prevents progress. Obviously, if somebody falls in a snare, or he stumbles and he falls, he can't progress because he was going somewhere when he stumbled and he fell. So, a stumbling block prevents progress. Now, who is Balaam? Balaam was a prophet of God who walked with the enemy against the people of God. Balaam was a prophet of God who walked with the enemy against the people of God. He was a real prophet turned false or mad prophet because, in his case, because of money. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 to 16 says this: but these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, spotting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and hearts they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. Beloved, these are very strong words. Verse 15, which, pay attention now, have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness and was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Balaam's story is in the Old Testament, but Peter is speaking about it, and he gives us these very strong words. We see the origins of Balaam in Numbers chapter 22, verse 1 to 6. Don't forget now, we're talking about hindrances to Christian growth. Hindrances. Numbers chapter 2, verse 1 to 6 says, and the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. The enemy is afraid of the Israelites. I want us to get that. The enemy is afraid of the Israelites. What does he do? Verse 5. He sent messengers before, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. The enemy says the children of Israel, which the scriptures declare are a small people. God didn't choose them because they were many. They are still small compared to those around them. But in the eyes of the enemy, they cover the face of the earth. Verse 6, Numbers 22, verse 6. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. Before the enemy wanted to attack God's people, he wanted to take care of the spiritual side. He wanted to take care of the spiritual side. Satan came after Adam and Eve, but he did not attack them physically. He dealt with the spiritual side. He wanted them to disobey God, because disobedience brings an uncovering, or if I may say, obedience is critical when it comes to spiritual battles. Because, for example, the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, for example, they often quoted section of scripture that talks about spiritual warfare. The Bible says from verse 3, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5, Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's where I've heard most messages stop on that. Verse 4 and 5, For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, But verse 6 says, and having in a readiness, talking about God now, to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Spiritual warfare is not complete until obedience is complete. Or spiritual warfare is weakened in the presence of disobedience. So the enemy wanted to, in the case of Eve, breach Adam and Eve's spiritual defense by luring them into disobedience to God. In that disobedience, we have a problem. So let's come back to Balak. Balak wanted to take care of a spiritual angle before he attacked the people physically. And the spiritual angle in this case was for a prophet to curse them because he knew that they were blessed. Now, Numbers 22. Let's pick up on verse 7. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I'll bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. Now, this is a regular prophet. You guys came to me for something. Well, I need to confer with my boss, okay? God is my boss. And whatever he tells me, I'll let you guys know. That seems fair enough. Verse 9, and God came to Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, behold, there come a people out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, cost me them, peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said to Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse this people, for they are blessed. Hallelujah. These are very clear and specific instructions from the Lord. Let's fast forward to Numbers 23, verse 20 and 21. Verse 20, behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He has not beheld, listen now, guys. He, talking about God, has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. What is he saying here? What is happening? I skipped the beginning part of chapter 23, but that was when Balaam built his altars and went to get a word from God. Despite the specific instructions, it was thinking God would change his mind or something. I don't know. For gain, for money's sake, so that Balak would enrich him with some money. But despite the attempts, it was blessings that came from his mouth when he opened his mouth to prophesy. So there's this summation here we just read, verse 21, verse 20. God, Balak is saying that God has given him commandment to bless, and God has blessed, and he, Balaam, cannot reverse it. That was verse 20. Then verse 21, he, that is God, has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. Balaam is saying, God is saying that he has not seen any perverseness or iniquity in Jacob. So his blessings on them remain. Now, the enemy was not able to attack Israel externally from the outside. Let me curse them, then I can go fight them and kill them. I got to do the spiritual first, then come with the physical and wipe them out. But they failed because God has blessed them, and his blessings because he did not behold iniquity or perversion in Israel. So what did the enemy do? He switched tactics and attacked them from the inside out. He attacked Israel internally. Mm-hmm. He attacked Israel internally from the inside out. You know, and I know we all love that scripture in Romans 8, verse 38 and 39. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Mm-hmm. I don't know, I may offend some of you now, but thankfully, you can't hit me. If you wanted to, that is. I'm just kidding. We love that scripture. But, beloved, did you notice that in that scripture, every person, every item listed there are third parties? Every person on that list, every entity on that list, every last one of them, they're all third parties. Mm-hmm. Because the Bible says in Isaiah 59 verse 2, it says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Beloved, you and I are not in Romans 8, 38 to 39. Mm. Beloved, the enemy cannot sneak in and cause God and us to be separated, because the enemy is in Romans 8:38. But Isaiah 59:2 says we can separate us and God. The enemy can't bring separation between us and God. The devil could not separate Adam and Eve from God. No, he made Adam and Eve separate themselves from God by their sin. The enemy wanted to bring a curse upon Israel, meaning they are separated from God, but he couldn't. So he switched tactics to make the children of Israel via a stumbling block to separate themselves from God. Remember the definition of a stumbling block? Yeah, it's something that is a snare, something, an occasion to fall, an offense, something, a difficulty that prevents progress. Remember that. Beloved, if we are stumbling or our progress is being prevented, it means that we were heading somewhere. Brother, if you're sitting on your couch, you can't stumble and fall. I'm sorry. It doesn't work like that. If you're lying on your bed, you won't stumble and fall. No. If you are going somewhere, you see, nobody can put a stumbling block in front of you while you're sitting on your couch. Nobody can put a stumbling block in front of you while you're lying on your bed. But if you're going somewhere, or let me put it better, if you're supposed to be going somewhere, then someone may try and put a stumbling block in front of you. In fact, to stumble is defined as to miss one step in walking or running. To stumble means to trip and almost fall. So that reveals something, that if the Lord said that Balaam taught Balak to cast a stumbling block in front of the Israelites, it means that the Lord had a destination for the Israelites. It means he wanted them to go somewhere, to be somewhere. I hope you are catching on, beloved. It means they were supposed to progress somewhere. It means they were supposed to move in a certain direction. So the question is, what was God's goal and destination for the Israelites? I'm glad you asked. Beloved, salvation for the Israelites, and similarly for us today, is a day's job. Yeah. Salvation is a day's job. What does that mean? It means it's immediate. Salvation is snap of the finger, you're saved. Like right now, you're saved. Mm-hmm. Let's look at that real quickly. The Jews were translated from Egypt in one day. It wasn't 10 months or 5 years. No. They were saved from Egypt in one day. Exodus chapter 12, verse 41 to 42. And verse 45, the Bible says, and it came to pass, verse 41, at the end of the 430 years, even the what? Self same day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Verse 42, it is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. Verse 51, and it came to pass the self same day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. Beloved, salvation is a day's job. But it doesn't end on that day. What is the it? The purpose of God does not end on that day. God has a roadmap for us to grow, to move, to proceed. A target to go to. Let's see the roadmap he mapped for the Israelites. Don't forget now, in Exodus 12, they were out. Just like that. One day, they were out. Exodus 12, they were out. Exodus 19. Let's hear what the Lord said. Exodus 19, verse 3 to verse 6. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Verse 4. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now observe. How I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you out unto myself. I did it. You didn't do nothing. It's by grace, guys. It's by grace. Verse 5. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed. Hold on. Why are you bringing me into it? I did my part in verse 4. yeah. God is saying, Exodus 19:4, I did my part in verse 4. I brought you out by grace. Verse 5. Now it's time for you to listen and do what I tell you to do. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. I thought I was a treasure already. Yeah. But if you obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. But Jesus, I'm already your disciple. What you talking about? Yeah. If you obey my commandments, if you keep my words, then are you my disciples indeed. What? Yep. Same Lord. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I hope you get it, beloved. Exodus 19, we're in verse 5. Now, therefore, if you obey my voice indeed and keep my commandments, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Verse 6. And you shall be unto me. I thought I was already. Is a progression, guys. Yeah, I translated you that day. I'm giving you the roadmap now. Verse 6, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. I thought they were sanctified at the Passover in Egypt when they killed the lamb. I thought they already been that, done that. What is he talking about now? Let me read that again. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Let's recap that. The Lord saved them from Egypt in one day. Salvation, boom, done, finished. But he now gave them a roadmap. You guys need to listen to me, the Lord is saying. You guys need to obey my voice. You need to keep my covenant. And you be a peculiar treasure unto me. You will be a kingdom of priests. You will be a holy nation. But what happened afterwards? The Lord tells us in Revelation 2:14, which we read, Balaam taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Moses summarized it in Numbers 31:15-16. Verse 15 says, Moses said unto them, have you saved all the women alive? Verse 16, behold, they caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. And we see it play out in Numbers 25, verse 1 to 3. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredoms with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Ah, beloved, my time is up. My time is up. My time is up. Beloved, the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, and give you peace. We'll have to take it up and continue next time. Until then, God bless you.